نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما. سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. It is He who gives life, it is He who causes death. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And He has power over all things. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He is the first and the last, the obvious and the hidden. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And He has knowledge of everything. Surah Al-Hadid is one of the most inspiring, one of the most powerful surahs in the Quran. Its beginning itself rivets you. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything is glorifying Allah. The fishes in the ocean, the birds in the trees, the stars as they follow their course, the sun, the moon. Every creature is glorifying Allah. And if you're going to say, except for man, the answer is simple. Even if our souls are not glorifying Allah, yet our bodies are bound by Allah's laws. In the Quran, Allah says, إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything there is glorifying Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَصْبِيحَهُمْ. It's just that you can't understand their method of praise. Why is everything glorifying Allah? لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Because He owns the heavens and the earth, Rabbul Alameen. Yuhyi wa yumeet, the source of life, the one who determines our death. And He has power over everything. Huwa al-awwalu, He is the first. Wal-akhiru, He is the last, or will be the last. Wal-zahiru, the obvious. Wal-batin, and the hidden. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua which helps us to understand this verse. اللهم أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء. Allah, You were the first. Nothing existed before You. There was nothing before You. وأنت الآخر, and You will be the last. فليس بعدك شيء. Nothing can exist after You. وأنت الظاهر, and You are the obvious. All the signs of Allah. Think of every creature in this universe. Every creature that exists on the face of this earth or within this vast cosmos is a proof of Allah's existence, just as a painting hanging in a museum is a proof of the artist's existence. And this is what we're supposed to do, recognize Allah through His signs, Al-Zahir. He is everywhere. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَسَمَّا وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, there He is. وَالْبَاطِن, the hidden. He cannot be seen. Invisible. لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Vision cannot perceive Him. Our vision cannot grasp Him. Why? اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Because He is the radiance of the heavens and the earth. Only people who create within themselves a capacity to perceive His Noor shall, by the grace of Allah, see His beauty and glory in Jannah. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَادِرَةٌ. There will be faces on that day that will be radiant. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ نَازِرَىٰ. Because they will be looking at their Lord. You know how your face lights up when you're looking at someone you love? Imagine looking at Allah. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. He has knowledge of everything. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Imagine His power. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days or stages. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He established Himself upon the throne. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows what goes into the earth, the bodies that are buried therein, the insects, the soil, the seeds that are planted deep within it. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. And what comes forth from it, the plants, the vegetation. وَمَا يَنزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. He knows what descends from the sky, whether it's the rain or the angels, or the clouds as they slowly come down. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And what ascends therein. Whatever is going up, whatever is coming down, wherever it is all within Allah's perception and vision. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Subhanallah. He is with you wherever you are. There is no cave dark enough to hide from Him. Aynama kuntum, wherever you are, whether you're in solitude or in a crowd, whether you're oppressed or you're in a moment of joy, He is with you. Wallahu bima ta'amaluna basir. The logical, the inevitable conclusion, warning, He is watching. He can see right through whatever you're doing. Why does Allah mention basir? Our vision is limited. For instance, we see two people praying together. And we think, ostensibly it seems, that both are doing a wonderful deed. Only Allah knows whose intention is pure, whose intention is sincere, whose heart is focused. And only Allah knows whose heart is distracted. Only Allah knows our intentions. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Actions depend on intentions, which is why only Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin. Because only Allah is Basir. He can see right through us. Penetrate the innermost recesses of our heart. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Again and again. Remember, this is Allah, Rabbul Izzah. His is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And to Allah return all matters. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. He merges night into day. وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. He merges day into night. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Think of the way day turns into sunset, then twilight, then dusk, and dusk subtly blends into the darkest hours of the night. And in the same way, Allah knows the secrets of our hearts. He knows the states of our heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're planning. He knows what we're intending. 6 powerful, magnificent verses describing Allah. Now what should our response be? What should our reaction be? Aminu, believe. Aminu billahi, believe in Allah. Wa rasulihi, and believe in His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a beautiful Allah. Such a beautiful Messenger. What of I? What of me? What am I doing? Where am I going? Fa ayna tadhhabun. Surah Al-Hadid is one of those surahs that shakes you. It makes you analyze, what am I actually doing? Where am I spending my minutes, hours, days, months, years? Where am I spending my life? Aminu billahi wa rasulihi. It's so fascinating that this is the 57th surah of the Quran. So why is Allah speaking about iman? Surah Al-Hadid makes you analyze your iman. How deep does my iman go? Is it just till the level of my throat? I'm preaching about Islam, I'm talking about Islam. Is it just till the level of my outward garb of so-called piety, that I've got my headscarf adjusted and a prayer bead in my hand? Has iman entered my heart? Has it entered my life? Has it entered my relationships? Aminu billahi wa rasulihi. Believe in Allah. Live your life according to Allah. Live it according to the sunnah. Wa anfiqu, and spend. This is something you have to do. This is a must. It's not an option. Anfiqu. It's been said, iman without infaq is nifaq. Iman without spending is hypocrisy. Anfiqu. From what should we spend? Mimma ja'alakum mustakhlafina fi. From all that Allah has entrusted you with. Every blessing that Allah has given to us. Whether it's our wealth, whether it's our talent, whether it's our health, whether it's our time, whether it's our children, whether it's our knowledge, He's given it to us for a reason. He's given it to us, not that we hoard it up and stingily say, I'm not going to share my time with people, I can't give my sleep up. No, anfiqu, spend, share, give of yourself. مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend from what we have given them. Now, the second connotation of mustakhlafina is really fascinating. Mustakhlafina comes from the word khalf, and you get the word khalifa from mustakhlafina. Khalifa means to succeed. In other words, all that we have, and this is physical blessings, is not ours forever. It wasn't ours from the beginning of time, and it certainly won't be ours till the end of time. Mustakhlafina, it's temporary. You know, like that game, passing the pillow. One person has it, then he is to give it to the other. He gives it to the other. No one can hold on to it and say, no, this is mine. And this is the point of mustakhlafina, the gold you have, the land on which you live, was not yours since the beginning of time. It might even have been an ancestor's, but it couldn't possibly have been yours since the time the world was created. And it will not be yours till the end of time. So what should you do? Anfiqu, give it to Allah so that it's stored and invested in your name. Give it before it's taken from you. The Prophet ﷺ said, get a hold of five things before five things happen. Your youth before your old age. Your health before your sickness. Your wealth before your poverty. Your free time before becoming busy. And your life before your death. This is what is meant by anfiqu, spend, share, use these blessings. Don't just waste them or hoard them or squander them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam illustrated this story, or rather this verse, by a beautiful incident that took place in his life. He had ordered for a sheep to be slaughtered and distributed. When he came home, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha, what is left? And she said, ma baqiya illa katifuha, only its shank remains. And he corrected her and he said, baqiya kulluha illa katifuha, everything remains except the shank. And this is the point of sadaqah or infaq fi sabilillah. What you give away, that has been stored for you. What you have used for yourself, it's gone and it will not return. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked his companions, which of you loves the wealth of his heir more than his own wealth? The companions said, there is none of us but loves his own wealth more. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, his wealth is that which he has sent forward, but that which he retains belongs to his heir. The clothes we can't bear to give away. The jewelry that we've hoarded in lockers because it's so precious. The land, the property that's lying useless, wasted because we have many houses of our own. But who's going to give that for Allah? Allah says, anfiqu, give it away, store it in the akhirah so that it's yours forever. Nothing can be ours forever. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنفَقُوا, those who believe and spend, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ, for them is an awesome reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked, which is the best sadaqah? He replied and said that you should give a sadaqah when you are healthy and you are stingy. We have a tendency that we like to give our sadaqah or postpone them till a time where we are very sick or a child is very sick, and then you think, oh, I'd better give a sadaqah. Sadaqah in our mind is associated with when you're going through some problem or some tragedy has befallen you and you give a sadaqah to kind of avert future calamities. Almost like a superstitious kind of thing that, okay, Allah, take this, but don't take anything else from me. That too is allowed, that's not forbidden, and definitely sadaqah does avert calamities. But the point here is not which will suffice, which is the best. And he said, the best sadaqah is that what you give when you're healthy. Nothing wrong with you. And you're stingy. You don't feel like giving. تَأْمَلُ الْغِنَى وَتَخْشَى الْفَقْرِ, you're scared of becoming poor and you want to become rich. You know, a stage in your life where maybe things are a little bit tight. It's not that easy for you to give. وَلَا تُمْهِلْ, don't delay. Until when the soul has reached the throat, you say, this is for so-and-so, this is for so-and-so, it was already for so-and-so. It's so poignant and it's so ironical when you see someone on his deathbed and he's telling them, okay, this ring is for so-and-so and this, as if he has any say in the matter whatsoever. He's deluding himself. Once he dies, everything will be taken off. Not even the clothes that you're wearing, not even they go with you. Anfiqu, do it yourself. Do it for Allah. It's not yours forever, but you can make it forever. وَمَا لَكُمْ, what's the matter? لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, you don't believe in Allah? This is so powerful. لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, think of all our false words on one side. I love Allah, my heart is pure, alhamdulillah, and think of our actions on the other end. Our lies, and our gossip, and our cruelty to others, and the way we are cruel to people around us, the way we can't even get up for Fajr, not even in Ramadan. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ What's your problem? Why don't you believe in Allah? وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ The messenger is calling you that you should believe in your Lord. وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِيثَاقَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ He's taken a pact from you if you were believers. What is this pact? One pact was taken from us long before we entered this world. عَهْدِ أَلَسْتِ in which Allah gathered all the spirits of the world, past, present, future generations of humanity, and asked, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? And we all affirmed, بَلَا, indeed. And Allah placed that little seed of Tawheed in our hearts. And then what did we do? We suppressed it. We covered it up. We did kufr. Kafara means to cover up. We all said blithely and glibly, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ When someone dies, we all say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When we get on the prayer mat, we all raise our hands and say, Allahu Akbar. But think of what we actually do. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Ma lakum? What's wrong? La tu'minuna billah? You still don't believe in Allah? Qad akhadha mithaqakum? You are so treacherous, you've forgotten all the promises you made. Think of the promises that we make to Allah sometimes when you're going through problems. Allah, just see me through this and then I'll obey. And then I'll turn to you. And then we forget the minute the problem's over. Our prayers are over. No sincerity, no fervor, no tears. That's all gone. In kuntum mu'mineen. The most common excuse that we hear from people who are disobeying Allah is, I didn't know this. I never knew this. No one ever told me. So Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ Sorry, this excuse is totally unacceptable because Allah has sent down manifest shining verses to His slave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can only make this excuse if you didn't receive the book, but we all have a copy of the Qur'an in our homes. Now it's our job to go out and understand this Qur'an. Why has it come? لِيُخْرِجَكُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ To bring you from darknesses into light. Think of the darknesses in our lives. لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ Think of the anxieties and stresses and depression and grief and problems that every human being goes through. And here you have it. Here you have this noor. And you say, oh, I'm not ready for it. This is like someone who emerges from the darkness of a room and he comes out in the fresh sunlight. And he runs back inside, covering his eyes, saying, I can't take it, it's too strong. What would we say of someone like that? It's come to bring you from darknesses into light. But you don't want light? Then Allah will not force you. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ Allah is so loving. He is so merciful to you. Our tragedy, possibly our greatest tragedy is, that we don't think of this as a sign of love from Allah. People say, don't tell me. If I know, I'll have to act upon it. Don't tell me. If I know, my hisab will be greater. Isn't that tragic? That here is Allah giving us Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Quran. He's giving you the best gift that anyone could ever give you. And you're saying, no, not yet. Please, give me 5 years. You don't even know if you have 5 years left. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ Remember, the proof of your iman is that you are spending for Allah. Because anyone can get up and give a lecture. It's not difficult. مَا لَكُمْ What is wrong with you? Again and again, Allah shakes us. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you understanding? Why aren't you changing? أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Why aren't you spending in the path of Allah? وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Don't think He needs your sadaqah. You need the sadaqah. To Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth. Now this is really important that we understand what is meant by a sadaqah. Anything that you give for the sake of Allah, whether it's a smile or a word of friendly advice or a 10 rupee note or a goat that you sacrifice and have the meat distributed or a suit of clothes that you give away or your zakat that you're paying, all of this comes within the range of sadaqah. And if it is done for Allah, inshallah, it will give you great reward and great satisfaction. Here Allah speaks specifically, fi sabilillah. Now, Fi Sabilillah also has many examples, and the supreme example is Fi Sabili Deenillah. That sadaqah which you give for Allah's deen, that this is so Allah's deen should prosper, this is so people can learn to understand the Quran. This is when you spend on Islam's propagation. And this is where most of us are ignorant of its great reward. Most of us are quite content just to hand on our old clothes to our servant and think, well, you know, we've done a lot today. مَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Please expand your vision. Learn to think big for Islam. Why aren't you spending فِي سَبِيلِ دِينِ اللَّهِ? Ask yourself, how many sadaqat have I ever given for Allah's deen? That Allah's deen should grow and it should spread and it should expand. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Do you fear reduction in your bank balance? How can you? If you're giving it to Allah and He is Rabbul Alameen, He will take care of you. A scholar was once asked, don't you fear poverty? You give everything away. He said, how can I fear poverty when my Lord owns the whole universe? Such a simple and such a moving answer. How can I fear poverty when my Lord owns everything? If I'm giving it to Him, of course He'll take care of me. And then Allah tells us, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلْ. Those amongst you who spent and fought before the victory, that is the victory of Makkah, أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْزَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. They are greater in degrees than those who spent and fought after the victory of Makkah. Now this is a really important concept that we need to understand. Think of the Meccan period. Think of the period of Hijrah. The Muslims were oppressed, they were persecuted, and when the Meccans left for Medina, they literally had nothing. Suhaib al-Rumi, remember his story that he was leaving and the Meccans around him, they said, we will not let you go. He said, I'm a really good archer. If you let me go, I'll tell you why I hid my wealth. And they said, all right. So he literally gave everything he had just for the sake of his iman. And he reaches Medina and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam greets him by saying, Rabbi hal bay'u ya Suhaib. Subhanallah, what a great bargain you just made, Suhaib. Because Allah had told him. Now people like this, people like Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, a famous dandy of Makkah, you could always tell if he'd passed by because the street would be full of his fragrance. Perfumes would come from Yemen. He accepted Islam, mother disowned him. He managed to escape from the chains with which they bound him. Went to Medina as the first teacher of Islam. When he is martyred, there is not enough cloth to cover him fully. If they covered his face, his feet would be left exposed. If they covered his feet, his face would be left exposed. I mean, these were people of another caliber altogether. And yes, there were many more Muslims who converted after the victory of Makkah. Allah says, the pioneers, the sabiqun, you can't equal their rank. Kullu wa'ada Allahu al-husna, all will be rewarded. But the pioneers, the trendsetters, their rank is way up there amongst the stars. Because they spent at a time when no one was spending. They obeyed at a time when no one was obeying. And this is what we need to ask ourselves. Islam in its present stage is going through a period of great turmoil. If you're living in a non-Muslim country and you're spending on Muslim institutes, your name is being tracked down and recorded. And you're being asked, why did you spend? For people who spend at a time like this, their reward is only found with Allah. As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. Trendsetters, pioneers, not waiting to see who's going to spend. You know, sometimes it happens, you're sitting in a gathering and a sadaqah box is being passed around. Now there are people who'll get up and put it, you know, in the box straight away. And there are people who'll wait for the box to come round to them. They're not in any hurry. And then also they look and see what note did she give, and then they'll give according to that level. Allah says, Kullu wa'ada Allahu al-husna. Yes, all will be rewarded. But remember, the supreme reward is for those who gave at a time when no one was giving. There's a beautiful story narrated about Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, when the Muhajireen came to Medina, they had great difficulties in having enough water. I mean, these were people who'd left everything behind. Now, there was a man of Banu Ghifar who had a well called Rumah. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Will you sell this well for a spring in paradise?" That was all he had, so he said, "This is all I have, I cannot do this." And the Prophet ﷺ did not force him in any way. When Uthman radiallahu anhu heard about this, he bought it from the man for 35,000 dirhams. And he said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Would I have a spring in paradise if I offered him what you did?" On the day of Tabuk, on which Allah describes as a time of distress for the Muslims, Muslims were taking on a superpower, a global superpower, the Romans. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Bring what you can." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brings all that he has. Umar radiallahu anhu brings half. And Uthman radiallahu anhu equipped one third of the army. 950 camels and 50 horses. He brought 1,000 dinars in his sleeve and he put it in Rasulullah's lap. And he said, "Nothing will do harm to Uthman after this day." Abu Huraira said about him, "Uthman bore Jannah twice, on the day of Rumah and on the day of distress." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wallahu bima ta'amaluna khabir." Allah is fully acquainted with what you're doing. He knows how you never seem to have enough money for a grand sadaqah, but you always have enough money for what you are longing for yourself. Man dhaladhi yuqridullaha qardan hasana. Allah asks us, who is there? Allah doesn't say, aqridullaha qardan hasana. Give to Allah beautiful loan. Look at the style of narrative. He says, man dhaladhi, who is there blessed enough, fortunate enough? يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ, who will give to Allah a loan. Not an ordinary loan. قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, a beautiful loan. Subhanallah. This is Allah, Ar-Rahman. He gives the money to us. And then He tells us that if you spend it on my deen, on my religion, I will regard it as a loan that I have to pay back, as a debt. And we all know the story of Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu. He came and asked in wonder, "Rasulullah, does Allah want a loan from us? He owns everything." And he said, "Yes." And Abu Dahda understood in a flash that this is for me. And he said, "Give me your hand." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put out his hand and he said, "I bear you to witness that I give the better of my two gardens as a loan to Allah." No reluctance, no, "Well, let me think about it and I'll be back tomorrow after discussing it with everyone." And this garden had 600 date palms. And it also had the house in which he lived. He runs home, doesn't crawl home weeping at what he's done, runs home, doesn't even enter the gate. Calls out, "Ummi Dahda, come out. This is not ours. It's a loan to Allah." And she doesn't come out in a state of shock. She comes out saying, "Abu Dahda, what a wonderful bargain you have made." Man zallazi yuqritu Allah qardan hasana. What happens when you give a loan to Allah? Do you know? فَيُدَاعِفَهُ لَهُ, Allah will multiply it. وَلَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ, and for him will be a beautiful reward. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, if a person gives in charity of the value of even a date out of his honest earnings, and Allah accepts only that which is pure, not that you're only giving away the interest money, Allah accepts it with His right hand and fosters it for him as one of you fosters the colt, a horse, till it becomes like a mountain. Bukhari and Muslim. Now what happens is, when we give in dunya anything for Allah, then what visibly all that you see is a reduction in your bank balance. Ostensibly all that you see is the loss. You don't even see the results of that sadaqah. Maybe you gave to a religious institute for the sake of Allah, but you don't know where your money is spent. When will we see the result? يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. You will see it on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam described, seven are the people whom Allah will give protection with His shade on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade but His shade. A just ruler, a youth who grew up with the worship of Allah. This is how much Allah loves young people who obey Allah. A person whose heart is attached to the mosque. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. And a person who gives in charity and conceals it that the left hand might not know what the right has given. And a person who remembers Allah in solitude and his eyes well up. And a man whom an extremely beautiful woman seduces, but he rejects this offer by saying, I fear Allah. Bukhari and Muslim. Now this is really fascinating that this is someone who is giving so much that even his loved ones, his nearest and dearest don't know how much he's giving. Sometimes this happens that when someone dies and people start coming up at the funeral and they start saying, he helped me at this time and she gave me money when I really needed it. And even the family didn't know all this. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ But they will see it on the day of judgment. On the day when you shall see the believing men and the believing women. In dunya, it's just an outward garb of iman, but in the akhirah, what was your inward will become your outward. What was your spiritual state shall become your physical state. You know, everyone likes to say, oh, he has so much noor on his face, but that day of judgment, that is true noor. يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ Their light will be streaming before them and on their right hands. بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمْ Glad tidings for you this day. جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Gardens under which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا Forever. Because you loaned your dunya to Allah. You loaned your money to Allah. And so you gained it forever. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ This is the ultimate success.